Blog Talk Radio.
That embraces the changes of the world and within, bringing you back to who you really are. I'm Anna East, and thank you for being here too.
Hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to episode 3 of the Here I Am podcast. The music you just heard is called Rosaline by Lonely Benson. And if you listen through the rest of the episode, I'll play the rest of the song at the end. So each week, I do choose new music to feature. So if you'd like to submit your own music to be featured in the podcast, I would love to hear it. And why did I choose the song Rosaline this week? Well, because today I get to chat with one of my dearest friends, Rose, about our individual so-called Britney Spears moments, why we shaved our heads, yeah, and what that means for a woman. So grab a cup of tea. I've got some stress-relieving kava. Settle in and listen to a part of our journey. Later on, you can call in and become a part of the conversation too. And this might just be the medicine you need today. I want to thank Be Unique magazine for sponsoring this podcast. Be Unique just released issue 15, which includes an entire audiobook of the magazine for readers to listen to. So just visit BUNEKE.org to find out more. So recently, I shaved my head for the first time, and I've been getting so many questions as to why I did it. And to be honest, I haven't really told many people why. It just seemed like a really deep topic to get into over and over again, because we all have so many layers, no pun intended, to deal with our hair. But I do want to talk about it, and I want to answer some of the questions I've received. And maybe you're even thinking about cutting your hair short. So maybe that's why you're listening. And I thought it would be a great idea to bring my good friend Rose onto the podcast to talk about our experience together. So who is Rose? Well, Rose is a medicine woman, ladysmith, and jeweler. Like myself, she has been going through the process of finding which art forms best suit her and her life. As a world traveler, she's found herself assisting others on their personal spiritual journeys as a guide of sorts. She works with semi-precious and precious gemstones and healing work and is learning the lapidary and metalsmith arts to create beautiful pieces with material that have been here long before us and will be here long after we're gone. She likes to think of herself as an earthly antique dealer. So Rose and I met in LA at a smoothie shop, and we randomly reconnected quite a bit of time later when Rose needed a ride home from LAX, which is the airport in LA, and I needed a reason to get out of my house. So I messaged her, and after a long car ride and a picnic in the park, our friendship truly began. So Rose has given me so much confidence to be myself unashamedly and has always been such a light in my life. I think she's perfect for this conversation. So without further ado, here is Rose. All right. Bring her on.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh.
Hi.
Oh, how lovely, Anna. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be invited here to talk with you today about,
oh,
I love what you said, our Britney Spears moment.
Yes, it so is. And it's funny, like my view on Britney Spears' moment of shaving her head has like totally changed from what I first saw it happening. I was like, oh, did she go nuts? And now I'm like, oh no, she didn't go nuts. She was like living life in that moment. She was freeing herself.
She really was.
Yeah.
She really was.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of women throughout history, I think the first woman that I had ever seen with their head shaved
personally was actually Frida Kahlo's self-portrait after she had divorced Diego Rivera for the first time. And she had, like, chopped off her hair and had her hair, like, in her hand in the painting. And scissors in the other to kind of show that she had done it herself and that it was a sacrificial experience for her because she had just gone through such immense loss of, you know, her husband. And so I found that was always so interesting. She's my favorite artist growing up. And I remember going to visit her house in Mexico and being so stunned with just the way that she lived. It was so beautiful and so simple too, like this beautiful blue house. And
what a statement too, especially for her time. Like, people didn't do that. Like, nobody did that.
No, absolutely not. And I mean, even Britney Spears, like when she did it, she was roasted. I mean, she still, feel like, gets
absolutely
flack for it.
yeah, she was, oh my gosh, so roasted for it. And you know, like how times have changed. And I think even, like, I think I'm probably, besides a few of my friends like yourself and a couple other friends of mine that have shaved their heads, like, for a lot of people in my life, I might be the first person female they know that has shaved their own head, you know? And so it's like, even still, it's like, it's very new to people. Which is so interesting. Cause you know, it's like, the double standard of like, you know, men started
seeing
growing
your brothers
head,
growing
like
up.
Yeah.
And
constantly. They're shaving their
getting
head,
their bald
like,
head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting
and then,
you know, their hair buzzed. Every summer.
Yeah. Exactly. And for us, it's like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Oh, like we're going against the grain, or even yourself, you're just like, oh, am I going to be so changed? But, you know, yeah. So getting into like some of our questions that we had, like I was really curious as to what your relationship with your hair has been like over the years and growing up.
Yeah, that's a loaded question, I feel like, because hair is such a form of identity, and I feel like it's an identity journey. It has been an identity journey, at least for me, growing up, not really, you know, always admiring hair and always just thinking hair is so beautiful and so regal and wanting to grow my hair out and not really being able to grow it past like a certain length growing up, and even using extensions and like clip-in extensions in high school and really wanting to have long hair. And then I was doing a lot of traveling, and I decided to dreadlock my hair, and I dreadlocked my hair when I was like 22, 23. And that same, it was probably, I think I had my locks for like 9 months. And then I moved back to Nashville after a lot of traveling. And I was like, okay, that was the first time my hair came off. I cut off every single lock, but I didn't shave it. And the second time was in November of 2018. And I shaved that baby all off, cut it all off. Shaved it, buzzed it. It was gone, you know?
Yeah. Well, I feel like every time, you know, back in Japan, it's if you do a drastic change to your hair, it's always seen as like it's marking a life change or a new job, or you've moved somewhere new, or if you finish something, or like that's, they oftentimes, like they'll, you know, if I ever did a big drastic hair change, my friends would ask, oh, like, what is it mark? What does it mean, you know? And so it's the same way.
Oh,
it's like, it sounds
absolutely.
Like for you, it's marking a big moment, and it was for me too. It's so a little bit like backstory on my relationship with my hair. So I was like, I've been blessed with a thick head of hair, right? And I started dyeing it red when I was 14. I started doing hair shows, and then I loved it, and I felt like it was more me than my brown hair, so I kept it, right? But I had this long red hair for my almost all of my teen years. But it was really interesting because I had been told my whole life how beautiful my hair was, and I had started to attach my beauty and my self-image and my worth to my hair. And
absolutely.
I had mentioned to you earlier, yeah, it was like, oh, well, if I don't have my hair, then maybe I'm not like as pretty, or if my hair doesn't look good, then maybe, you know, it's not as beautiful. Or if I just put my, I would wear my hair back in a ponytail when I was like a preteen and stuff all the time. And I know, like, I felt less beautiful than the other girls and things like that. But then when I got to be in my like 16 set, like four, anywhere from actually really 14 to about 17, 18, or maybe even older, actually, I was kind of, I think I was overly sexualized consistently because I looked older and I was still a very naive and innocent teenager. I was a very, very naive one. It was so hard for me because I would constantly be catcalled on the street, and then they would just like talk about my hair and things like that, like on the street to me. Or I had when I was a teenager, older men, you know, hitting on me and things like that, which, you know, some people like they want that attention, but for me it was like I wanted people to see who I was as a human being and not just look at me for my hair. And I felt like that was consistently what was happening to me. So I started to feel...
Oh, and it's all over our culture. It's all over the media. I mean,
yeah.
It's ingrained in us, deeply embedded in our, like, sociology, truly.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Well, I started to feel, like, really unsafe with my hair. It was like, I loved it. It was beautiful, but I was like, I felt like there was so much more to me, and I felt unsafe with it because it just put me into a category that I didn't want to be in. All the time, you know, I wanted it more so on my own terms. And it was like the moment I cut it into a bob for the first time, it took me up until I was, oh my gosh, until I met you that summer, just after I met you.
I was about to say, 17. I remember when you cut it.
Yes, we had this conversation.
Yes.
Yeah, wow, isn't that crazy?
I know. I remember when we were in the car together and you were like, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm just going to cut it off. And then I think the next time I saw you, it was gone.
Oh my gosh.
Like, word.
I swear, in the moment when he first cut all that hair off, that's when I was like, I want to shave my head. Because in that year since that point. But it was like, that was so freeing of me to finally like choose, you know, that this is what I want for me. Like, who cares what people say about my hair, me cutting it, like so many people have. Like, this is what I want. So anyway, yeah, that's been so far my relationship with my hair. And then there's been so much more that's happened since then, even since I cut that first bob, you know. I've gone through so many.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it's also, it's interesting when we talk about just our experience with that identity crisis and our perception of our identity with our hair. And even the Japanese culture, I love that they, you know, that they have that wisdom, because looking back, both times there was major, major upheaval and major change happening in my life that I felt like was related to trauma and transformation and letting go of those habit patterns, letting go of those social norms, like the process of finding who I am as a person. Really doing what I thought I had to do to, you know, get rid of like heavy weight baggage that was no longer like I was saying, like dead skin, almost like dead, dead cells that just needed purging, that needed, to be rid of, you know?
It's so true. Yeah. I think if you cut it all off, then it means it's not a part of you anymore. It's like you can have a physical release from all of that, whether it's trauma or words that have been said to you or insecurities that you've had. Or if you're trying, like for me, when I did shave my head, I really wanted to say, like, you know, I wanted nothing to hide behind. You know, I wanted to see how fully and like radically I could accept and like of myself. And it's like, if I have no hair to cling to, am I still beautiful? And of course, like now after I did it, I was like, heck yeah. Heck freaking yeah. I love this. Like I feel so hot. And like, I feel like a woman. I feel amazing with this short hair. And it's just all these things, you know? But it's so
liberating. Oh. It is, honestly, buzzing your hair is one of the most liberating things you can do. Especially, I felt like when I was going through heartbreak, I was going through like huge rejection of all material things. I felt like it was, for me, it was all of that material and it was like connected to a mindset that had to be gone. Like I felt as though all that time that was passing, that was happening, everything that was going on, it kind of added up to this major change. And I think when you make such a huge shift in your own person, you almost want the scars, the invisible scars and invisible wounds, and almost like you need to shift into that butterfly and have that transformative mm-hmm. moment for yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you do cocoon, where you do what you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. Or it's interesting too that you say like scars and things. So I've had staples in my head. I have, like, when I was a kid, I ran into a bunk bed edge, and, you know, whatever. But I have like scars on my head, and I have like a skin issue and everything like that. I've got a bit of like psoriasis and stuff, but so it shows up on my neckline. And for me, it's always been a big insecurity. And I was like, oh man, if I shave my head, like, you might be able to see all that stuff. And it's like, you know what? I need to like let it all come to the light. I need to embrace it all. I need to, you know, let it come through. And that's the big thing too, is I actually have been working with a mentor since November last year. And I had been learning so much and like kind of unconditioning myself and unconditioning my mind and my brain and my soul and my own femininity and everything like that. And I even remember, what was it? Because I first cut my hair into a pixie cut in January this year, and I had a bob like for so long. And I was going on to these women's circles and these calls, and I was like, I really want to cut my hair short. And there was a girl on there that had the cutest pixie cut. And I was like, I really want to, but like, I'm just afraid that, you
I
know,
feel like it always
thinking.
Goes through levels. Like,
yes,
you have to
yes.
go through the steps of the bob and then the pixie cut and then the full on, like, okay, I'm just going to take a razor to this bad boy.
I needed to cut it all off. I couldn't, I was like, if I ever want to grow my hair out again, I can't go from a pixie cut to growing my hair out. I have to shave it.
For sure.
It was such like an intrinsic feeling that I like had to do it. Well, you know, it's like,
I know,
dancing, like,
I haven't,
person. You have to
I literally,
get it all off.
I haven't been able to touch my hair actually since I've shaved it. I haven't trimmed it. I haven't cut it. I probably should, but I haven't done anything. I've just been kind of like leaving it alone.
Yeah.
I think for my birthday, I might dye it like some crazy color, like pink or something.
Ooh,
I'm feeling wild. I'm feeling frisky.
Well, you know, actually, I tried to dye my hair a dark blue, like we had talked about, or dark purple. And I had some dye that somebody gave me that permanent. And I put it all over my head, and it looked beautiful with all the dye. And as soon as I washed it off, it was only remaining on my scalp. It didn't do anything. It made my hair kind of like black. So I currently have darker hair. That's it. But it's okay. I had fun. I got the feeling of it, a little like wild feeling of it. And I'm like, okay, all right, that's fine.
It was the rush. The rush.
Yeah. So I'm looking at some of our questions here. How long had you wanted to shave your head for? I got a lot of the questions of like, was it spontaneous? Like, did you just all of a sudden, and I almost felt like that had the connotation of like, did you have a mental breakdown and shave your head? Or like, I'm like, either way, you know?
Yes. Can I just say yes? My mom had literally just given me a trim on my hair, like my hair was nice and trimmed, and one night I just took scissors to it. I was like, I'm doing it. I'm just shaving it all. I'm just taking it all off. And I think there was a lot happening that was coming to a head for me. I just let go of so much material belongings that were mine. I had moved away from Los Angeles kind of very spontaneously. I had actually gotten broken into. My car had a bunch of my like belongings, my laptop, a bunch of documents, a bunch of really just my valuables that were in my car because I was about to be traveling with them got stolen. And so I was going through this huge life
Wow.
shift of, okay, I just lost like this person that was also my best friend, it was like heartbreak and letting go of that person, and then this idea of the future that I thought I had and not even really understanding what was going to happen next, and letting go of all my belongings, doing what I thought all these spiritual teachers were telling me to do, let go of all of these material goods, let go of all these attachments, these physical attachments that we have to this world, and go commune and be in prayer and meditate. And so I did that. I fasted and I prayed and I meditated. I really studied, tried to do in the jungles, like really remotely in Costa Rica. And so my hair journey took me to a whole nother level of self-discovery and self-worth, and also moving through illness within my body, because I was going, I was the time, I was experiencing an autoimmune disorder, and a lot of, and I know this is going like so deep, but really so much was happening that I think that I needed to just literally start from nothing and, and fill that.
I think that sounds like that was just like, when everything else was, basically we're being removed from your life. It's kind of, I mean, it's like, it's one thing after another. It's a very, you know, how our journeys go. It kind of was like one thing leads to another, and that losing all your possessions is enough to, you know, wake anybody out of whatever they're in and say, oh my gosh, what now? And then as you go on that journey, it kind of is, it's like you needed, you want, I mean, maybe I'm putting words into your mouth and maybe I'm on the right track here, but it's like you needed a reset, like a restart. And I think
110%
taking your hair away too. It's like okay, I'm just gonna start fresh. This is a fresh, like a it gives you something.
Well, I learned in that journey what was truly of value, and that's the relationships that we hold with ourselves and our creator and the world around us, the earth. I feel like being attuned to nature and being aligned with nature and creator through nature is such an important part of life that our society doesn't put as much importance on, but I see the youth wanting to be outside more and more, and I know this quarantine has everyone in kind of a weird space as far as community goes. That's why I love that you started this.
Like,
it's really necessary.
I was feeling that way too. Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, how did you feel like right after cutting your hair?
Oh my gosh, I remember. My buzz, like I cut it and it just looked so bad. So my dad took me to his barber, and she was like, oh, honey, she's like Middle Eastern woman, and she's just like, honey, you've done messed your hair up. Like, she was just like, this is terrible. You've just, you know, let me help you. So she just took the smallest razor she could and did the best she could. And I remember my dad just rubbing my head and being like, he's like, don't tell your mom, but I really, really like it, because I know it was very spontaneous. It was a lot, I think, kind of wake up to me with no hair. And
yeah,
I know it wasn't planned, like some people may plan it, but it was definitely what I felt. I felt liberated. I felt good. I felt very in my body. I felt very present. Honestly, I felt really, I felt really healthy at that point before. I'm glad to be healthy now and here.
Yeah.
And
me too.
Just so grateful.
I am so grateful. because it's funny. I think it's interesting for me to learn about your journey. Because,
what about you? How did you feel?
I felt
initial reaction.
Well, like I said, once I cut my hair into a bob in, 2017, I, wanted to shave it, but I didn't actually think about seriously doing it until last year and then into the, really, honestly, January. So I've been thinking about it for a few months, and it was really interesting because I had been saying to friends of mine, I'm going to shave my head, and I said it to you. And I didn't know when, but then when this whole lockdown thing happened, I was like, okay, well, I guess this is the time because I'm going to Florida. I don't want to have to deal
with
and bangs in Florida summer and things like that. So I was like, this is the time. But I kind of also, I was like a little bit sad because I was like, oh, if I shave my head, I want everyone to see it. I want everyone in my community to face it. Yeah, I just shaved my head. What do you think? You know?
Oh my gosh. When you
posted your hair shaved, I was like, oh, who is this goddess? Come alive. Oh, my word. Yes, I am living for it. I'm here. Wow.
The essence of beauty.
Oh, my God. Thank you. We all have so many different sides to us. And I just felt like
I finally
was like, you know what? People haven't really seen the side of me, but this is also a part of who I am. But yeah, so just before I shaved it, I had actually received a few negative comments about the whole thing. And I was like,
Before or after?
It hurt just before.
Just before. Hmm.
Yeah, I heard some negative comments about
Hayden?
It. And
who was Hayden?
I won't name names.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But yeah. So then, I was shaving, those comments actually kind of fueled the flames, and I felt like even compelled.
Yeah,
to do
I bet
it.
They're
I
not
like,
hating now.
Oh.
I bet they're not
yeah.
hating now.
I was like, oh, you want me to do this? Okay, let me show you how awesome it is and how badass I'm gonna be, and I'm just gonna do it because that's
how I'm
I want,
about
not,
to do it.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like, oh, you want, I don't go off of what you want for me. I go off of what I want for me. So anyway, so after I cut it, I actually felt like it was the same way when I cut my first bob. I just looked at myself and my pixie cut too. And I was like, oh yeah, that's me. Like, oh yeah, that feels right. That was like my reaction. And I expected to feel a lot more emotional. But I think after bobbing my head, oh, and let me tell you that first bike ride I took a bike ride right after I shaved my head, and it was the first time I'd ever felt so much air floating by my scalp, and I was like, this
oh,
is...
I know, your head gets cold
oh,
real quick.
But it was amazing. I had so many sensations. It was incredible. And even now, if you talk to me, you can catch me just rubbing my head because I feel so good.
Oh, I know. I think it's a coping mechanism, honestly, I remember I would rub my head too all the time, just rubbing it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So I actually, it was funny because anybody who did oppose me initially, I think they've all come around now. And I think I hope that if anybody was close-minded about it, maybe now they can start to say, they can hate it, then that's fine. I don't want to hear it, but they can hate it.
And I think it's one of those things where it's none of your damn business. It's your body.
Yeah,
it's your hair.
Exactly.
Do what you would like to do. It's your life. If you want to cut your hair, cut your hair, homegirl. I think it is such everyone, boy and girl, non-binary, whatever. Just try it one time. Feel it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
If you have the nerve, if you have the capacity within yourself to try it, I encourage you to try it. It is liberating, and hair grows back. That's the beauty of it. Hair always grows back. Unless you're a guy and it doesn't grow back, but that's okay. Bald guys there's some really handsome bald guys out there too. I'm not hating
absolutely.
On none of the baldness.
Mhm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, both ways. I think it really suits people, and it's just another hairstyle. And right now, for females, it is in a way a statement. It's a change, a massive change. Or for anybody, cutting your hair any length.
I think women kind of rock it a little bit more than dudes do, though.
I love it. Oh, and I love when people shave it down to the bare minimum, and then they dye it a really bright color. I think that looks so cool.
Yeah,
I love it. There's so much you can do. I mean, so many people have inspired me, you know. Right before I shaved it, I did get really nervous. Actually, I got emotional and nervous right before I did it. But I went on YouTube and I watched some people talking about why they shaved their heads and how they feel about it. And it was literally nothing but positivity. It was just like every single woman was like, yes, this is, I needed this. I needed to do it. I'm glad I trusted myself. I'm glad I listened to myself. I just went for it. And a lot of people are like, I feel more myself this way. And other people are like, that was exhilarating and I'm going to grow my hair out again. But that was, that felt so good to do. I'm glad I was brave enough to do that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So what shift did you feel like taking place within you after, well, both before, like leading into it and then afterwards, like shifts that you could talk about or you that really landed with you?
I feel like at that point, I was receiving a lot of downloads. Actually, at both points, even when I cut my locks off, I was experiencing a lot of just awareness in my own life and in my own mind, just becoming more and more aware of myself and my purpose in the world and also what I needed to do for my own healing process and to what I... Because I think right when I moved back to Nashville and I cut my dreadlocks off, I went straight into filmmaking. And I had never tried acting for film. And I remember, like, hitting it right off the bat, getting one short film after another, a lot of student films, and really having incredible experiences, feeling really comfortable, really in my element, enjoying the storytelling aspect of it all and the experience of being on set, which, I mean, I know you know, is just such a fulfilling feeling when you can have a family and, you know, experience that kind of filming a movie together. So rewarding and so much fun. And I knew that I had to cut my hair before going into that. There was something in my mind. I was like, I know I'm going to go for this. I need to cut my hair. And so I did that. And then this time was more of like, okay, I need to go on a journey of self-discovery. I have to let go of everything. People are not going to understand what's going on in my mind. They're not going to understand why I have to do this, why I'm doing what I need to do. But I had to commune and look for my own form of perfect contemplation in a very remote part of the world. And I know that sounds crazy, but I studied scripture read the Bible cover to cover, like really looking for God, looking for connection, looking and experiencing so much of that connection, so much of that natural and to the animals and to the jungle and people and really experiencing communion in my own way. And that was something that I had to do on my own, you know? And
yeah,
it's just interesting how it was a very monastic part of my journey that I had to go on for myself. And, and I'm so much better for it. I'm so grateful that I did what I had to do and kind of went a little off grid for a while, but you know, it taught me a lot. And losing your items and losing your valuables, I think teaches you a lot too. It teaches you to, you know, even sometimes it teaches you to have greater value on these, on precious things and take better, or it teaches you that you can let things go and that they are just things and that we're going to return to dust. And, you know, that's our fate, you know, and even if we
and
want.
It's like we come here with nothing and we leave with nothing. It's like one of those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Dang, girl. It's beautiful, though. It really is, because how many people can have that experience of trusting their intuition to go and do what they need to do for themselves and coming through and having so much wisdom thereafter. I, you know, for me, I'm on this real journey of really uncovering myself and taking, I say, take my mask off and, really just being as present and as true me as possible. And it's a journey and it comes in layers and everything like that. But I'd say like, that's probably,
you know, we're all on it.
The biggest lift, right? Yeah. And it's just like each, for me, the shave and then the life thereafter has just been one step closer to being like my more present, real, authentic self of like, literally, that's why I named it this podcast. Like, here I am. This is me. This is who I am right in this moment sort of thing. And, And I think embracing all of that is all part of that journey too. I have another question for you, but I'm going to go to a little message from our sponsors really quick from Be Unique. So we'll just have a couple of seconds here to listen to what they've got to say, and then we'll hop back in. And also, if you are listening into this podcast and you want to call in and ask either of us a question, please feel free to call in. The number you're going to call is 516-418-5651. And if you're international, you can go on Skype, give yourself some Skype credit, and type that same number in, and that way you can connect with us too. All right, so this is from Be Unique. They want us to know this. Let me ask you a question. Do you prefer coffee or tea? This is a question we ask on our fun and informative millennial talk show called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed. And why do I know? Because I'm Anna. I'm one of the co-hosts. It's a great time. It's a professionally edited weekly series that's free to watch on Be Unique's YouTube channel. That's B-U-N-E-K-E. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode and leave us a comment with your topic or guest recommendations. We love hearing from you.
That is, in fact, me talking there because I was a co-host on that show. It's a great show. If
you are so cute.
Thank you. I sound younger there to me. I think we just recorded that last year. I sound so much younger.
You're still like one of the cutest humans I know, and I love you. I just want to say that on record.
No, thank you. I feel like I go back and forth between being like a total goofball, like, you know, cutesy to patootsy to like a shaved head warrior.
My oh, dude, absolutely warrior princess, 110%.
I like it.
Warrior princess.
Heck yeah. And you are like a like queen. I don't even know, like an earth queen goddess. I see you floating. You're not even walking. You just float. You float around. You know, for anybody that's listening, we had this joke way back when our first summer of knowing each other. We went camping in Joshua Tree National Park. And I don't know. Oh, well, it was off the street sign, but we came up with this whole concept of she's like an old spirit named Onaga, and I am a tree stump.
Onaga!
Do you remember Onaga and the tree stump?
Absolutely, of course. How could I have forgotten?
Yeah, so we made up songs. We just were like, we knew. We knew. That was our connection in another life.
We had alter egos that knew each other from a prior lifetime.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
By the way, I was a tree stump that had its leaves sprouting out. That was what it was.
Yeah, you were growing. You were growing.
Yes. Oh, love it.
Wise old tree stump.
Wise old tree stump. Yes.
For real?
My goodness. Okay.
I remember one time we were, one of my favorite memories with you is just like your improvisation is just so fantastic and so much fun to bounce back and forth off of. It's just amazing. And we were, what was going on? I think the boys were playing like music or something. And we were somebody was singing and we were acting out.
Yes.
I don't even remember.
You're at your band practice. By the way, if you're listening, Rose also is a musician. She's a beautiful singer. And if you go down to our social media, which I'll talk about later, the SoundCloud, that's her music. So anyway, to continue, yes, we were at a band practice for you, and we're just hanging out, and we were, I think maybe Jarrett was playing, he was improvising on the guitar, and then I think somebody jumped on a bongo, and then we just started dancing, and were we rapping? I don't know what we were doing. It was amazing, though.
It was amazing.
Like,
I think there was like interpretive dance involved, and some like ventriloquism. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there were
yeah.
some serious skills popping off in that room. I think it even continued into the bedroom. I mean, I think it was wild. It was a wild night. It was fun. That was so much fun because we went back to the apartment. I meant like the apartment. It wasn't like that.
Yes,
calm down.
No.
Calm down.
Yes, we went back to your apartment and we made dinner and
Oh my god.
Yeah, it sounds bad. It was so much fun.
We ballet danced. I think we ballet danced later that night.
Right, we ballet
danced.
Some
French music. that you showed me. Honestly, Anna showed me some of the greatest music. Most eclectic music. I love her music taste.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Music is one of my driving forces in this life. But, yeah, so that's a bit of history and background on Rose and friendship, if you were curious. okay, so.
We're two people. Basically.
Yes,
I wish I was
basically.
There with you right now.
I know. I can't wait till I can drive up and see you. Okay, my last question is.
I hope Bonnaroo happens. Sorry.
Yes. Oh, me too. It's September. It has to. Yes. What would your advice be to someone who is thinking about cutting their hair, shaving their head, or dyeing it? What would you say to them if they're feeling nervous and they're unsure, but they want to do something and they feel it?
Do it, baby. Do it. Do it. Do whatever calls to your heart. And if you don't want to hurt your hair, like, then don't do it. But if you just don't give, you know, whatever, you don't care, do it, baby. Express yourself. Your hair is yours and yours alone. Do with it what you wish.
Yep. You've only got this one lifetime to do what you want with your hair and your whatever. So it's your life. And if you feel, like, seriously, I let other people tell me.
Your hair and whatever. I love that.
All of the things you could possibly want to do with your life or change. If you're feeling it and you're afraid of what people might think, or you're if someone's told you, like past boyfriends of mine, that I wouldn't be as beautiful without my long hair, freaking cut it in spite of all that. Feel good.
No.
Yeah.
The classic. Oh, I really love long hair. I mean, it's okay that you cut yours, but it's just, I really do love long hair on girls.
Yep.
I'm really attracted to long hair on women.
Yeah.
That
I will say
that. That's such a nice, like, silent jab. Like,
it is. It sure is. I have met some wonderful, wonderful partners of mine, though, that have been super supportive recently. And you know what's crazy, though? It's after I shifted that about myself. After I was like, you know what? I'm going to do what I want. Then I started attracting the partners that were supportive of me doing what I wanted. Isn't that funny?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, it was a huge surprise that I was like, oh, maybe that was my, like, I chose that instead of people choosing for me or me saying yes to things that I didn't want, you know? Yeah.
Yes. That's that people pleasing. I want a relationship, even if it hurts. It's kind of self-sabotage when you believe as well, relationships that are healthy and good and positive and uplifting and growing for both people, both parties. There's no third parties or fourth parties or, you know, and really being able to have a healthy relationship and healthy union. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
But
ma'am.
It definitely does take being able to communicate what you want and being open to that and being able to express yourself openly and calmly. You know,
that's so true. You have to voice what you need. And that's something I've been learning too is, you know, I think taking actions in my life, like shaving my head, whatever it is that I do, that helps me to then start to speak that this is what I need. I'm unafraid to tell you what I need. I'm unafraid to tell you what I think. I'm unafraid to be myself and all that kind of stuff. And to let you know, this is what I need. You know, and instead of holding back,
absolutely.
What are they going to think, you know?
And to step
what
into
if,
your
what
power as a woman and as an adult and as a creator.
Yeah. It's interesting too, like on a final, like note from myself is like, I just had the thought of, I've always been so afraid of, like, if I do this thing, if I say this thing, people will leave, people will run away, they won't want to be my friend, they won't like me anymore, I won't be as well liked. And then after taking my mask off, shaving my head, like being myself and just voicing what I need and my thoughts, my ideas, my passions, my opinions, in a, you know, of course, in a compassionate way and things like that, people haven't run away, or if they have, I haven't died. I'm okay. I'm doing just fine. And
no,
I feel better
because
after every session.
Authenticity is so important. I feel like people are attracted so naturally to authenticity and you being your true self. And when you can be vulnerable and you can open up and say, hey, this is me, take it or leave it, I feel like people respond to that more. And it gives them almost this release of, well, now I can be at ease. I can be myself. I can relax into this with you.
Exactly. Yeah, it gives them the opportunity, and it opens the door for them to say, "Oh, I can take a breath too. I can just be here with you as I really am as well." Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And
I feel like when I sat down with
themselves and being able to accept that and just experiencing, you know, but also being able to call out when there is something that is off. You know, I think that's really important, and learning your voice and learning your true self when certain things don't feel right and when certain things bother you or someone may react in a way that doesn't feel like you feel supported or you feel safe or whatever. There's a disconnect and a misalignment. I feel like it's really important to be able to have that skill to communicate and say, hey, you know, and also on the other end, and being able to communicate when things are right and when things are, when you appreciate when certain things are done.
Hello?
Oh, hello?
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure
good.
I didn't lose you. Oh.
No, you're good. You're good. I say absolutely to all of that. Okay, it looks like we're about ready to wrap things up. Is there anything you want to say before I let everybody know about your social media and what's coming next and all that kind of stuff?
Yes. I have been working on a workshop in my space right now in my garage in my parents' home, and I will be fabricating a lot of pieces. I was actually fortunate enough to be able to go to the Tucson Gym Show this February, 2020, and was able to retrieve a lot of really beautiful pieces. And I'm actually doing a sale on my Etsy, 20% off with the code EARTH. I would invite all of you listening, please take advantage of that code. Again, it's code EARTH, all capital letters, and it's 20% off. I have free shipping. I'm going to be putting new stuff up onto my shop all throughout this week. I also do through DMs on my Instagram at Sacred Rose Studio and my Etsy Sacred Rose Studio as well. Thank you so much, Anna, so much for having me. This has been such an honor, such a pleasure to speak with you and to commune with you.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I'm just so grateful that you're willing to come on and talk with me. I just think that every time we get together, our energy that we share is just so dang good. And so thank you for coming here. And everybody, she makes gorgeous, gorgeous pieces. I have loved everything I've ever received from Rose, and she knows what she's doing. She's very knowledgeable. And if you have any questions, she probably can answer it and help you find the right thing. But beautiful, beautiful jewelry and stones that she has. So, all right. If you look down in the description, if you're watching this on Blog Talk Radio, you can see all of Rose's social media and websites. You can check out her Instagram at Sacred Rose Studio. She has her Etsy shop listed, her SoundCloud, and also her email for direct contact. If you want to stay connected with me and figure out who the heck I am outside of this voice, ominous voice, you can follow me on Instagram at Anna_eats_bananas. It's right underneath there too. And my Facebook and my website are there as well. And if you are interested in learning more about Be Unique, you can check them out too. They are a fantastic publication who are elevating the planet as well. You can check out their social media at Be Unique Magazine on Instagram, Facebook, and Be Unique is spelled B-U-N-E-K-E. So next week, my next episode is actually all about finding your voice and trusting it with my good friend Jess Galay over in Australia. She's a wonderful performer, actress, producer, and she's just incredible. I'm very excited for talking with her next week too. So, Mrs. Rose,
hey.
Thank you so much for talking with me today. I love you.
Thank you so much, Anna.
You and my little soul sister. And
I love you.
For all of you.
I adore you.
For all of you that are listening and supporting, thank you so much. I'm wishing everybody all sorts of health, of course. Lots of joy this week. Do a dance party for Rose and I, please, interpretive dance. And after listening, I hope... do a howl too. I hope everybody feels just a little bit more like themselves after listening. And with that, I'm going to play the rest of the song and wish you a good night.
Ciao.
Ciao.